We are experiencing an epidemic in our society. What is it? Joylessness. My name is Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you so much for taking this journey with us as we discover how to live a life of true joy.
Thank you for joining us today for Day 12 of Joy. Today's title is Why Heaven Throws a Party. C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Today our text comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 6 through 7 and 10. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. On day 11, we encountered the 72 disciples returning from their mission with joy. Jesus focused their joy on their names being written in heaven. Then Jesus himself was overcome with joy as he witnessed lives being transformed by God's power. Today, we focus on the counterpart, joy, that is found in heaven in response to those same events. In Luke 15, Jesus gives three consecutive parables that share a single theme, the joy that occurs when a lost sinner is found. It's important to note that Jesus tells the story to an audience of Pharisees and scribes who were complaining that Jesus receives sinners and he even eats with them, as told in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. But later in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus declares, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Seeing lost people being saved is Jesus' sole purpose for leaving his throne room in heaven and being born in a manger. Jesus was virgin born so that we could be victoriously born again. He was robed in humanity so that we could be clothed in righteousness. So it makes perfect sense that Jesus' joy is tied to his purpose for dying on the cross. When someone accepts the gift of salvation that Jesus provides, Jesus and all of heaven rejoice. In the first parable, Jesus speaks of a man who had 100 sheep but lost one. The shepherd goes after the lost sheep and finds him. And when he comes home from his search, he calls his friends to rejoice with him. Jesus clearly makes the point of the parable in verse 7 when he says, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." In the second parable, Jesus talks about a woman who had 10 silver coins but lost one of them. When she finds the one coin after a diligent search, she calls her friends together and has a group rejoicing session. Jesus introduces the theme of the parable in verse 16 when he says, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In the third story, Jesus shares a longer parable with an identical topic. It is commonly known as the parable of the prodigal son. A man had two sons. His youngest asks for an early inheritance, travels to a distant land, and squanders his father's wealth on wild living. He finally comes to his senses and comes home. And when the father sees him coming home, he runs to him rejoicing. Then he throws a party for his son, which involves the sacrifice of a valuable fattened calf. The older son is angered at his father's celebration. So the father goes out and begs his oldest son to come to the party. But the older son refuses because he can't rejoice over his brother coming home. The other older brother represents the Pharisees and scribes. These religious leaders couldn't celebrate sinners being saved. They thought you could only achieve salvation by keeping the law perfectly, and so they were too self-righteous and judgmental to see that salvation only comes through God's love and grace, represented in the parable by the father rejoicing and throwing a party when his prodigal son returns home. Their biases and bad attitudes hindered their ability to rejoice. When Jesus repeatedly said that all of heaven rejoices over something being lost and now found, he was driving his main point home in their hearts, that everyone should rejoice when lost people are saved. R. Kent Hughes explains the divine application of verses 7 and 10 in Eternal Joy. God rejoices in the presence of his angels when the lost are found. Here is a laughing, congratulating, hugging God. Observe, too, that he rejoices more over a newly found sinner than he does for the multitude already in his fold. There is an initial lively joy that momentarily outshines settled joys, a greater joy over the safety of one who is in jeopardy than for what is secure, just as one rejoices more at the recovery of a sick child than at the health of one's family. Notice, too, that when God rejoices, heaven and his angels rejoice as well. I can say on the authority of Christ's words that if you are lost and he finds you, and you thus find him and repent, God and his angels will rejoice over you. We should never have a Pharisaical attitude when it comes to rejoicing over people being saved. Jesus and his angels rejoice and celebrate every person who repents. So should every person who is a follower of Christ. Let's think about these thoughts today. Have you lost your joy over people repenting and being saved? How can we be more joyful in our response to lost people being found? What have you seen celebrated more in churches and society than the salvation of souls? How does having a God who celebrates repentance make you love him even more? Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, may we have the joy today that is like the joy in heaven when a sinner comes home. May we be more joyful as we see people say yes to Jesus. May we love you more because, Father, we know that you are so crazy in love with us. Thank you for your love, your joy, and your peace. We love you. Amen.